Here are the directions for part two. In this part, you will hear five passages, A through E. Each passage will be followed by two questions, number 11 through number 20. For each question, you will have 10 seconds to choose the best answer and mark your answer on your answer sheet. The passage and the questions will be given only once. Now, let's begin.
A. The Sasanian Empire. The early 3rd century saw the emergence of the militarily powerful Sasanian Empire. Centered in Persia, the empire's prime location contributed to its development into a prosperous commercial hub for the Silk Road trade. One reason the empire is particularly interesting to historians is that its bureaucracy was concentrated in the capital, rather than across its diverse provinces. The government's approval and finance were required for most undertakings, from infrastructure projects, such as road building, to agricultural policies. Provincial officials had to report directly to the government, allowing it to keep a tight rein on power. Sasanian emperors encouraged the pursuit of scientific knowledge and scholarship, and many works were translated into the Sasanians' language. Architecture and art experienced a revival, and hospitals and medical centers were established. The empire also gained a reputation for finely crafted metalwork. Despite all the empire's achievements, prolonged conflicts with, among others, the Roman and Byzantine empires meant its borders were constantly changing. Such circumstances, along with internal strife and revolts, gradually sapped the strength of the Sasanians. In the 7th century, the Sasanian Empire found it increasingly difficult to resist Arab forces, which ultimately overpowered it, bringing about the empire's downfall.
Questions. Number 11. What is one thing the speaker says about the Sasanian Empire? Number 12. What was one issue the Sasanian Empire faced? B. The U.S. Census. The U.S. Census is carried out every 10 years in order to count the population and gather data about things like citizens' ages, race, and income, providing vital information for the development and growth of the United States. Following the census, a second survey called the Post-Enumeration Survey, or PES, is conducted to evaluate its accuracy. However, the PES often reveals a tendency for the census to misrepresent minority groups. For instance, a recent PES revealed that about 5% of Hispanic people were overlooked. In contrast, Asians were overcounted. During censuses, invitations are first mailed to households nationwide, requesting that people complete surveys. However, up to one-third of people fail to respond, so census workers have to be sent to their homes, a process that is both extremely labor-intensive and costly. One proposed solution is for the Census Bureau to utilize things like tax and Social Security records rather than conducting massive surveys. It is estimated that about 90% of Americans could be counted this way. This would reduce expenses, and the savings could be used for detailed follow-ups of people who have been difficult to survey using traditional census techniques, potentially leading to a more accurate census.
Questions. Number 13. What has the post-enumeration survey revealed in recent years? Number 14. What is one possible solution to the census problem?
C.
The beliefs of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is best known for his creation of the literary detective Sherlock Holmes, who is famous for using logic to solve crimes. Conan Doyle trained as a doctor, and his scientific knowledge is evident in the techniques used by Holmes. Therefore, it is surprising that Conan Doyle was also an avid follower of spiritualism, which is the belief that the spirits of the dead can communicate with the living. He took spiritualism very seriously, even stating that he would be willing to sacrifice his literary career if that meant more people would believe in it. Many people assume that Conan Doyle's belief stemmed from a desire to contact the spirit of his son, who died in 1918. However, he had written essays on the subject many years before his son's death. Interestingly, he never allowed his spiritualist ideas to influence the character of Holmes. While Conan Doyle spent much of his life trying to persuade others that supernatural powers were real, Holmes remained a skeptic throughout his adventures. In fact, Holmes often used his analytical methods to prove that supposedly supernatural happenings were simply the result of human actions.
Questions. Number 15. What is one thing we learn about Sir Arthur Conan Doyle? Number 16. What are many people mistaken about regarding Conan Doyle?
D. Map traps. In the past, maps were occasionally published with incorrect information. These were not always accidents, but sometimes deliberate attempts by map makers to detect unauthorized copying of their work by other cartographers. Known as map traps, these took many forms. They included, for example, misspelled names, misshapen geographical features, or fictitious places. If a new map was then published with any of these irregularities on it, the original creators had grounds to take legal action against the copyright theft. A notable historical example of a map trap is the town of Agloe, supposedly in the state of New York. Years after it was made up by General Drafting Company, it appeared on another company's map, which prompted them to sue for plagiarism. In its defense, the accused company pointed to a store with Agloe in its name that had been built right where the town appeared on the map. This was seen by the court as sufficient evidence that the town really existed, and the case was dropped. Ironically, however, it turns out that when the owners of the store were deciding on its name, they had actually borrowed it from General Drafting Company's original map.
Questions. Number 17. Why did some map makers add incorrect information to maps? Number 18. What was true about the town named Agloe?
E. A look at laziness. In today's health-conscious society, the benefits of physical activity are widely understood and acknowledged. Yet, despite medical professionals and fitness experts' constant reminders of the importance of exercise and the health risks that come with physical inactivity, people seem drawn to sedentary behavior. To many people, lazing on the couch after a day of work is more appealing than jogging or working out. From an evolutionary standpoint, this paradox makes sense because conserving energy would have allowed early humans to hunt, gather food, and evade predators more efficiently. In 2018, researchers in Canada conducted a study to better understand people's tendency to avoid physical activity. The researchers monitored participants' brain activity while showing them computer images depicting either physical activity or relaxation. As the images appeared, participants had to move an avatar toward the active images and away from the relaxing images as fast as possible. To the researchers' surprise, moving the avatar toward the active images required the participants' brains to work harder. The researchers say this need for increased resources suggests laziness could result from how our brains are inherently wired rather than from a lack of willpower.
Questions. Number 19. What does the speaker suggest about conserving energy? Number 20. What did the researchers in Canada conclude?